Cool. So thanks for joining us, everyone. I'm really excited to talk with Natalie today. I know some of my readers are familiar with her. I know, of course, everyone that's a fan of Natalie already knows her, but just to introduce her, Natalie's been eating raw for about 3 years, and she coaches people who want to transition into eating raw. So one of the ways she does that is she helps people build customized plans for the diet that they want to follow and kind of really tailor it to where they're at and what their goals are and where they want to go. So I guess we'll just get started then. I kind of wanted to ask you, Natalie, first of all, just so, you know, the people that are new to eating raw and they're interested in it, what exactly is raw and what does it mean and why is it such a big deal?
Right. So, good question. So the first, the idea is that raw food is mainly a vegan diet, so that means it's fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds. And the reason we call it raw is because the foods aren't heated above 112 to 118 Fahrenheit. And the idea behind that is that you're not denaturing some of the enzymes or some of the other nutrients that you might get when the foods are kind of how you found them in nature. And that definitely helps with a couple of things, including digestion. So raw food really is easy to digest, and it's just kind of like pure fuel for the body. So that's one of the reasons that the raw diet is making such like a big splash in the diet world kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, it's like it's the closest you can get to the way nature kind of, I hate to sound cliche, but the way nature intended it.
Right.
Sue
has arrived.
Cool. So how did you, Natalie, get started in eating raw, and why are you so passionate about helping other people start eating raw as well?
So I had first discovered the idea of eating raw online like a couple of years ago, and I wasn't really, you know, I thought it was a cool idea because I resonated with the idea that it was like eating the way nature would have wanted us to eat. But, you know, I live in the 21st century and there are all these other foods that I could be eating, right? But what really brought me into eating raw food was just seeing some of my family members and some of the problems they've experienced. So what happened that really shifted the way I looked at diet was when my aunt passed away. She died of a heart attack, and it was not the first person in my family who died of a heart attack. So it was really heartbreaking, and it was like a big awakening because I realized that all of these things could be prevented. And that's when I really dove into raw food and researched it and tried it. And, you know, that was going to be the way that I would change my own diet and then hopefully spread it to other people. And that's exactly what I did with my dad, actually. I got him to start eating more raw food, and all kinds of good things happened for him. For example, he lost 12 pounds in the first 2 weeks that he went raw, and he used to have this weird chest pain, and it was like in his heart, and it kind of pounded strongly and hurt him pretty much throughout the days. But then after he went raw, it completely disappeared and it hasn't come back. So I don't know if it was some heart thing or some, I don't know, blood vessel. I don't know exactly, but yeah. So after that, I was like very much convinced. And now I'm really passionate about helping other people who could definitely use this information and who need help, because it's not exactly that easy to just switch your diet overnight. So that's what I do now.
Right. Cool. So I know that your new program is all about, you know, helping people with their cravings. And it's really true that we don't eat for just, you know, physical reasons and fueling our body. A lot of the reasons we eat food is emotional and psychological, or we have some kind of like attachment to the food that we eat. So I just kind of wanted to ask you, since you work with people with this so much, like, how do you know when you're having craving that's unhealthy, and how do you know if it's emotional or physical or what?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And the thing is, there's actually three levels to craving. So there's the physical craving. So it could be something like you really miss that taste or that texture, or there's like an addictive substance in the food that you're eating, like caffeine or sugar or MSG or something that just really makes you want that food. So that could be completely on a physical level. And then there's the mental level. So you might have seen a commercial or heard someone talking about a food that, now suddenly you really want it and you're kind of picturing it in your head and your mind is going on and on about what it would be like to taste it and imagine eating it and that kind of stuff. And then you've got the emotional level, which I think is kind of the underpinning of all of these other craving levels, because when you're actually craving something on an emotional level, it's because you're either not emotionally stable. So, for example, you're stressed out, you're anxious, you're bored, you're procrastinating. Basically, there's tons of sort of negative emotions that might cause you to go and indulge in your cravings. So, the example I like to use is if someone's trying not to eat donuts, just as an example, and they're feeling great, like they're happy with life, they slept well, they're energized, everything is good, and then someone gives them a donut, they're more likely to say, "Oh, it's okay, I don't really want it, but thanks." Then if someone was like cranky and they had a fight with someone and they're upset and tired and all kinds of things, and then someone gives them a donut, they're a lot more likely to be like, just scarf it down, basically, right? So basically when you can figure out which level your craving is at. So if it's just a physical or a mental craving, it's a lot easier to ignore these cravings if your emotional base is stable. So if you can kind of recenter yourself and, maybe you just need to take a nap, or maybe it's like, listening to a happy song or something, but there's different ways that you can return to your, healthy, centered emotional place so that you're not really taken over by all these cravings all the time.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's so important. Could you give people like just one tip or something they could do to kind of recenter their, an emotional level?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is really important, and it's something that's so easy. You kind of just repeat this phrase. So you try to figure out what it is that you're feeling. So sometimes we kind of stuff our emotions down, so it's hard to know what we're feeling. But if you can kind of figure it out, so maybe you're just feeling stressed or you're angry or, like if it's a really strong emotion, you can figure it out. And then you'll just repeat to yourself three times, "I accept myself even though I am blank." So, for example, "I accept myself even though I am sad," or "I accept myself even though I am stressed." And then you just repeat that three times, and just the act of saying that you accept the way you are right now kind of dissolves any resistance you have, and it really just, moves you right through that emotion. Because what we try to do a lot with emotions is we try to like fight them, and then as soon as you start fighting them, they kind of take over and overpower us. So that's just a good way to dissolve it and then just come back to your centered place.
Cool. Yeah, that's really great because I think it's really true when you're having that emotion or you're having that craving and then trying to deny it.
Right.
It kind of gets stronger, like you're feeding into it by kind of trying to pretend that it's the pink elephant and it's not in the room.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to say it.
Okay, cool. So I think this personally is the, is one of the biggest things for me is that I wanted to eat raw, and I started getting it really into it at the beginning of this year, and I was really passionate about it. But it was difficult for me trying to kind of balance.
Has arrived.
Having it was difficult for me to try to balance having the relationship with my wife, with that's obviously tied with food. So how do you what's a good way to kind of balance that when one person wants to eat raw and the other one is not interested in it?
That's one of the things that I actually struggled with too when I went raw, and I think like it's kind of I'm just going to say how I went about it the wrong way and then how I think we should do it the right way. So my idea when I first went raw was that, you know, raw was the ideal solution and that everything else was wrong. And I was, like, very confrontational about it, which really didn't work very well, and it just caused more friction in my relationship. So now I really think that the best way to do it really is to just kind of offer up, like, raw meals or ideas or whatever, but just in a very... you know, no stress, no pressure kind of environment. So, you know, if you make something raw, just offer it up along with a cooked meal, or, you know, just say tonight we'll just try something different or that kind of thing, and just keep on at it, and without being too pushy and without trying to, like, convert to 100% kind of thing. Because when they see that you're doing really well with it, they'll maybe, you know, kind of their ears will perk up and say, hey, something's changed, and, you know, they seem to be doing pretty well on
Jill
that.
So. Has left the conference.
Yeah, so that's just one way of doing that. And the other thing is basically, like you were saying, that sometimes your partner enjoys cooking for you or making foods for you, and that's one way to show their love and their support. So sometimes I will actually, like, eat something that's cooked. Like, this happens in my family as well. So, like, of course, I try to, you know, make it something healthy and not something that's, you know, going to derail me for a long time or anything. But basically, you know, sometimes I completely understand that it is a way of showing emotions to each other, and it's a very social thing.
Yeah. I don't know if you would agree with this or not, but I heard, I think it was a friend of mine said this. He said, it's better to eat something that is cooked, but it's made with love, than to begrudgingly eat something raw.
Right.
Because you're doing it out of obligation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally
I think that's a big difference. Cool, yeah, that's really helpful. I think you're totally on when you said, like, not pushing anything, you know, and just being kind of open to what happens instead of trying to control it.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So the next question that I have, which I think is, you know, a question for everyone really, is how do you handle, like, social events and you're going out to eat and stuff like that?
Yeah, so, you know, depending on what kind of, you know, if you're going to, like, a barbecue or something at someone's house, then you can always bring, like, a raw dish that you can share with everyone, and make sure you bring enough for everyone, because what usually happens is people really love the food. So if you make, like, a dessert or even just a salad or some sort of, like, sprouted grain or something like that, people just go crazy over it sometimes, especially if you don't tell them that it's raw. And they just sort of take some and, you know, then they try and they're like, hey, that's actually really good. So that's usually what I do when I go to something at someone's house or, like, someone's, you know, like, if it's something that you can bring food. But if you go to a restaurant, there are certain things you can do. So you can always order a salad. You know, my idea is that restaurant salads aren't necessarily the best, but you can always bring certain things. Like, you can bring some nuts with yourself if you want to, like, sprinkle them on top of a basic salad, you know, make sure you're not too hungry. Or you can always ask them for, like, extras. So what I like to do is look on the menu and then see what kind of vegetables they have in the kitchen. So sometimes they'll have avocado, you know, in a sandwich or something, but they don't necessarily put it on salads. So I'll just say, could I have some avocado on top of my salad as well? Or, you know, find other little things that they might have, like, certain dressings, and kind of, like, combine and make my own salad. I'm not sure if the waiters like that or not, but, you know, it's one way to go. And other times you can just find, if, you know, depending on what reason it is that you have for going raw, maybe you want to do it because you want to be vegetarian or vegan. So in that case, you can just opt for a vegetarian or a vegan option on the menu as well.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's, like, kind of going back to what you said, like, you can choose a healthy alternative that's not going to derail you for a long time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then that way, you know, one of the things is, like, I know some raw foodists who will go to social events and then they actually won't eat and they won't order anything and they'll just drink water or something and then just be there for the people. And I think that's kind of interesting. It's not necessarily what I do, but it's not necessarily a bad idea either, because you're there for the people and for the socializing. So it's really up to you and what you want to do. As long as you don't make too much of a big deal out of it, I think people will totally respect your decisions.
Right. Yeah, I think I heard David Wolf say that.
Right.
Once, that he asked everywhere he goes where they're not eating raw, which is kind of hardcore. But I think what you said is a really good point, that it's about the people and not necessarily about, you know, what you're stuffing your face with.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, if people ask you why you're not eating or why you're not eating the same way as everybody else, you know, you can just say why you want to eat raw, or because we all have a good reason to change the way we eat. And, you know, if you just explain to them in a non-confrontational way, they'll totally understand. Because, like, the reason sometimes people get uptight about it is that you're kind of calling them out on their decisions, and then that makes them uncomfortable. So as long as you make it clear that you're okay with the way they eat, then they'll totally accept the way you eat as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I mean, a lot of times people, I just mentioned that I eat raw, and people will tell me, like, oh, we're not meant to eat raw, or something like that.
Right.
We're meant to eat cooked food. And I just say, I used to say, oh, well, here's the reasons why eating raw is better. And that never worked.
Right.
So instead I just say, in my experience, eating raw makes me feel better. So that's why I do it.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're not putting them in the spot.
Right, you're not calling them out. So I think that's totally important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So I guess this is a good kind of transition to the next question I had, which is like, what is it about eating raw? You know, obviously raw is more natural, but what is it about eating raw food that where you can? It seems to me, at least for when I eat raw, that I can eat as much as I want and I don't feel like that uncomfortably full feeling. And when I eat a lot of cooked food, if I eat a little bit too much, I feel uncomfortably full.
Right. So the idea is that raw food digests really quickly. So fruits, for example, digest in 20 to 30 minutes. So like if you eat a watermelon, it can take like only 20 minutes to completely like go through your body. And when you compare that to cooked food, like grains or meat or that kind of thing, it takes somewhere between like 4 to 8 hours to digest. So in your body, it's going to take like a much longer time for you to, you know, get it out of your system. So that's why it feels like it's kind of heavy in your stomach and it's not, you know, moving along down the chain, you know what I mean? So that's why when you're eating raw food, like, you can get that full feeling if you eat something dehydrated, or if you like sort of miscombine and you eat too much raw food. It can totally happen. Like, I've done it at raw restaurants where I'm like, oh boy, I've clearly eaten too many things tonight. But yeah, so it can happen. But basically, if you keep your combinations of food pretty simple, then you'll always have that sort of light feeling after you eat raw.
Cool. I heard this too, is combining like too much fruit with too much nuts one of the ways that happens?
Yeah, exactly. So like what I was saying is that fruits take about 20 to 30 minutes, but then nuts take, I don't really remember the number, but I think it's like 2 to 4 hours or something like that. So if you combine the two, you'll kind of cause like a traffic jam in your stomach, just because one of them's trying to digest faster than the other. So they just kind of digest at the slowest speed. And then what happens is you get like fermentation and gas and bloating, and it's just very not fun in general. So that's like, yeah. And then a lot of people recommend food combination for raw foods, but I think as long as you follow the rule that you don't eat fruits in combination with too many other things, like, then you're pretty good. So, you know, fruits on their own generally do pretty well.
Right. Okay, good. So I wanted to ask a couple questions that a couple of people submitted before, and then I guess we can kind of open it up to other people's questions. But there was a question from Joshua, and he asked, what would you tell someone completely new to the whole idea of raw foods to convince them to try it, and why?
Right. Well, I would probably tell someone that raw food is like a really easy way to give your body the fuel it needs and to make it really easy to digest food. And it's basically just like giving yourself rocket fuel and then not, you know, worrying too much about all the details. And if they're completely new to raw food, what I would suggest is just give it a try for like a week or, you know, I mean, pick a day, a number of days that you think would work for you, and then just give it a try. Like, just talking about it probably isn't going to do much. So just giving it a try would make a big difference. If you're not ready to go like overnight, you can definitely transition by starting out with green smoothies. Green smoothies are basically just like blended up fruits and leafy greens with water. So they're really easy to make. Like a simple recipe is like two bananas, a peach, a little, like a couple of strawberries, and some spinach with some water. And then you blend that up and it'll come out green. It might be a little scary. If the green is too strong, you can just kind of build up the spinach a little bit slower and just give that a try. It tastes much better than it sounds.
Right. Yeah, totally. It really does. What are some other good, because I've kind of used spinach a lot. What are some other good greens to use for smoothies other than spinach?
Yeah, I use spinach too, but other good ones are Swiss chard, kale. Arugula tastes very strong, but it's also good. There's dandelion greens. You can do it with collards. Let me think.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I've also used like romaine lettuce, just different types of lettuce. Basically, pretty much anything except iceberg, because that's just a little too white.
Right. Okay. Cool. So the next question is from Linda, and she wanted to know: Does eating raw help with sugar cravings? I have a very, very sweet tooth.
Okay, yeah. So definitely raw food has a lot of good recipes for desserts, and they taste really good, and they're not necessarily as sweet as regular desserts, but you'll definitely feel taken care of if you're eating these raw desserts. Like, one of the things I don't really miss are the sweets of the cooked food world, pretty much, because I can make, like, brownies, ice cream, like pies, pretty much puddings, you name it. Like, there are so many different types of desserts you can make with raw food. And now the other thing is, if you do have like really intense cravings for sugar, that might be a different issue. So that's something that we'd have to take a look at, you know, in terms of like what I was saying before with the physical, the mental, and the emotional cravings. So that's something that maybe is more on a, you know, deeper level, but definitely the taste-wise, there's enough good sweet stuff in the raw food, you know, culinary world.
Yeah, and Natalie has a free ebook that if you go to, what's the URL?
Yeah, you can go to curecravingsforever.com and then /desserts. So that's DESSERTS.
Yeah, and there's a free ebook there that has like 28 different recipes, so you can check that out too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess she also wanted to know, as far as like bread, carb foods like potatoes, what are some raw alternatives? That I know a lot of people really love their carbs.
Yeah, so
kind of an addiction as well.
Sorry. Okay, so for for breads, there's a couple of different things you can do. So you can get a dehydrator, or you can also buy certain things in stores. But for the dehydrator, you can make breads and crackers and other things that'll give you that same carb feeling. And like I make cookies, I make, you know, crackers and wraps and all kinds of things that are very bread-like in my dehydrator. But some people, you know, they don't really want to invest in dehydrator, just, you know, spend time making things. So there's all kinds of other alternatives you can buy at the store, which might not be 100% raw, but are like pretty easy to digest and good on the body and stuff. So some of them are manna bread, which are sprouted dehydrated breads. And then I think there's the Ezekiel company that makes sprouted breads as well, like sort of flatbreads that you can use for wraps and stuff like that. And another thing that I want to say is that once you start eating raw, you kind of, like, maybe it doesn't happen right away, but eventually you get rid of that need for all of these starchy things, and you kind of just transition, right. And it's not as much of a big deal. But definitely at the beginning, I think that, you know, when you really want that bread-like consistency and you can't get it in the raw world, then yeah, that's what I would recommend. And then for potatoes, you can make mashed potatoes with all kinds of things, like cauliflower, with like raw gravy and all kinds of things. So you can't, don't worry too much about potatoes.
Okay, cool. Another kind of question that I think is really important is, like, are there any good resources? Because I know there's like a lot of books there that have kind of gourmet raw recipes, and they have a lot of recipes that require a lot of different ingredients. It's almost like an investment before you want to make a, you know, dinner. And are there any good resources out there that have more simple, easier to make recipes for pre-made raw?
Right. So some of the books I definitely recommend for both recipes and information are Natalia Rose's Raw Food Detox Diet. She has very simple, like, most of her recipes, you just need a blender. Like, she has no dehydrator recipes, and, like, her stuff is really good. Like, her salad dressings and all kinds of things are just great. And another book as well is Annie Pio's Raw Food Kitchen. And some of her recipes are a little bit on the complex side, but she definitely has some really easy ones too that, you know, she has like some hummus and some other things that are pretty simple, like just, you know, blender as well. So that's just another idea as well. And there's also a website that I like to go to called goneraw.com. And it's basically just, you know, user-submitted recipes, so it's like a community-driven site, and there's just tons of great people on there who love developing new recipes and putting them out there for everyone. So, you know, you will definitely find some more complicated recipes there, too, but there's a lot of recipes you can pick from, so I'm sure you'll find something that's not too complicated.
Cool. Yeah, so it's Natalia Rose, right?
That's right, yes.
Or not. Natalia Rose and Annie Pio.
Right.
Which I think is Phyo.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay, cool. So I know you have a program that's launching pretty soon that's kind of like a party. So
<Yes. laughs>
can you tell us about what this program is? And, you know, I know it's about people, you know, that have a hard time transitioning, that, you know, want to overcome their cravings. They want to just get into it, but they need to build some momentum. So can you tell us, like, a little bit about what your program's about and who it's for?
Yeah. So it's called Cure Cravings Forever, and it's going to be just completely awesome. It's just going to be all about getting people everything they need to make the transition. So it's going to have recipes, shopping lists, menu plans, and not just like one, you know, 100% raw one, but depending on where people are in their transition, there might be like a 70% raw, 50% raw, etc. So it'll be really easy for people, no matter where they are, to get started. So it's for people who are curious about raw or who just want to give it a try and who just didn't quite know where to get started. And the other thing is that it's going to be 4 weeks, so it's starting in November. It's going to be live video, so I'll be teaching things live. If you have questions, I'll be there to answer them. So if anything comes up during the program, I'm right there for you. And what I really want to delve into this program is how to get rid of cravings. So we talked about some of the levels of cravings, but we'll go like much deeper into the different techniques that I personally use to get over cravings and some of the things that I wish I knew when I went raw so that I didn't, you know, indulge cravings back then.
Right.
So, yeah, it's definitely for people who either maybe have tried to go raw before, but that, you know, things kind of kept pulling them back into the way they used to eat, and then they just kind of gave up or whatever. But they know it's right for them, and they know that, you know, they want to give raw a real try. So it's going to be just really good for anyone who's had problems with cravings. It's definitely going to zap those.
Yeah, awesome. I think that's really cool that there's different kind of levels, because I know a lot of people, They're like, oh, I want to try this, but, you know, I don't have as much experience. And then there's also people that are like, oh yeah, I've tried this before and it didn't really work out because I couldn't really get over my old habits and my old way of, you know, doing things. So I think that's really awesome that it can, you know, cover those different areas. It's really cool.
Yeah, and then the other thing is that because it's 4 weeks long and we know that it takes about 21 days to, like, you know, put new habits in place, like, you'll be really supported the whole way through while you're making these changes. So you're not, you know, just, you know, buying a book and then left hanging and not sure what to do kind of thing, right? So, yeah.
Right, and the people will be able to connect with the other members and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
As
so
well.
You can support each other and everything.
Yeah, that's awesome, and I think that, for me, was probably one of the missing pieces when I first started, is I didn't find that, you know, support of people around me. I didn't find people that are doing it, so I think that's really key, is having that kind of just, that kind of group around you that, you know you're all trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes such a big difference, for sure. And then I'll actually be launching it on October 30th, so I'm holding a fun Halloween party, and it's going to be at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific, and it'll be live on Ustream video. Anyone can come in and join and chat, and we'll be announcing the program, and there'll be some, like, bonuses for the first few people who sign up and all kinds of fun stuff. But basically, if you want to get on the list, if you're listening to this call, you're already on the list, but you'll get an email, basically.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds really fun. I think that's an awesome way to something like that, like, as a party, because it really is kind of a party, you know, that you're doing something really cool for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I'll be dressed up in my witch's outfit because, yeah, I'm known as the Raw Foods Witch, and so I'm really, you know, milking Halloween for all it's got, pretty much.
Yeah. Should be Halloween every month.
It should be, I know.
Cool. So do you want to say anything else about program, or do you want to open it up to kind of if anyone has any questions?
Yeah, I think we should open it up to see if anyone has questions. If you want to talk, just unmute yourself by pressing *6.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name and what's your question?
This is Joshua. I'm not sure if this is working properly.
Yes, we can hear you.
You answered my good. You answered my question earlier, the email one, same one.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I appreciated that. What's the, you say it's just to feel better, and, you know, the Wikipedia article was not very good at all, so what's good resources do you have for, like, if someone with a bit more of a objective bent, you know, wants to go research what other people have said, what may be studies have been done. Is there anything for that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I have a really good book recommendation. It really delves into the reasons for being vegan and eating a plant-based diet. It doesn't talk specifically about raw food, but it's kind of implied in some of it. So the book is called The China Study, and it's by Colin T. Campbell. And you can find that on Amazon or pretty much anywhere online. And that one's very scientific. It's based on studies done over like 70 years of research and all kinds of stuff. So that's super technical. But it's also easy to read. Like, I could read it. So. And then if you want more raw-specific... Yeah, you're welcome. If you want more raw-specific things, I guess you could basically look at... look at David Wolf, Dr. Cousins, Gabriel Cousins. There's a bunch of resources. If you want, I can send them out in an email to you, if that would help.
Sure.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much, Natalie, for joining me. I mean, it was really awesome to just have, you know, some of my question asked and some of the other people that had questions, and to kind of get a better feel for what it takes to eat raw. So,
absolutely.
Thank you.
It was my pleasure to be here, and thank you so much for being here as well, Jonathan, and for everyone who's listening.
Cool. So, once again, just tell us again, when your program's launching, and kind of remind everyone so they can keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, so it's called Cure.
Joshua
has left the conference.
It's called CureCravingsForever.com, and you can get more details on the website there. It's going to be launching live October 30th. That's a Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Eastern, and it's going to be live, like a fun Halloween party. I'm going to have like the announcement done there with more information as well on the party, and so that's basically when it's going to go live. It'll be, the program's actually going to be open for about 5 or 6 days, so it'll give people time to research and find out if it's right for them before they sign up.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to it. So, thanks again for joining me here and kind of sharing your knowledge with us.
Well, thank you so much, Jonathan. It's been awesome.
All right.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Well, awesome.
Bye.
Bye.